Om agnati miranda syang ganangana sarakya chaksurin mini tamiyana tajmai sri gurave namaha sri chaitanya mano bisam stapitam yana bhutare sayam bhakaramyam darati swapanatikam. Today we want to talk to you about developing deep roots of faith. We had a windstorm in Salt Lake City 2 or 3 weeks ago. Many of the big trees in downtown Salt Lake City and the avenues were blown down by the 120 mile an hour winds. And the reason that those trees had blown down and other trees didn't blow down had to do with rotten, shallow roots. Someone asked the city of Salt Lake whether the downed trees could be replaced. The answer was no, because the roots had been too rotted. The city representative explained that the trees had extensive root systems laterally, horizontally, but the problem is that most of those roots were less than 12 inches vertically deep. When the wind started blowing, those surface roots didn't have anything to anchor to. The roots and the ground together came loose and the tree toppled over. There are also pine trees in Salt Lake City, and they're different from the maple and the oak trees. They don't so easily blow down in the wind. Why? Because they don't just rely on their surface roots for stability, but their roots also go down deep not to be affected by high winds and loose soil. It's the same principle in life. We all have things that come against us, a health issue, financial reverse, child gets off course. The winds and rain come to every single person. We're not exempt from that at all. The point is, if you're going to rely on lateral roots instead of putting your deep roots of faith down, you're going to be vulnerable to all that. You're not going to outlast the storms of life. The reason that some people, and I'm sure we know people like this, maybe you're even too, they go around always worried, upset, offended, it's because they have shallow roots. They're moved by the traffic jams. They're moved by the weather. They're moved by a grouchy boss. They're moved by what someone said, always being tossed to and fro. On the other hand, if you're a person with deep roots, then you know that God or Krishna is in control. You know that whatever happens, he has you in the palm of his hand. You know that he's equipped you, empowered you, anointed you, and you're not affected by the things that go on the surface. You know that Krishna, God, is directing your steps. You don't get offended when someone does you wrong. You know that Krishna is your vindicator. You don't live discouraged because you got passed over for that promotion that you deserved. You know that when one door closes, Krishna's got a better door open in the future. Because you made a mistake, you don't retreat and give up on your dreams. You know that Krishna, God's mercy, is bigger than that mistake. When your roots go down deep, you're not moved by the things that don't go your way. Why? You're living from a place of peace. The winds may blow, the storms may come, but you know that when everything's said and done, you're gonna still be standing. You'll still be praising. You'll still be smiling. We're advised, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is a choice that everyone has to make. I'm not going to be moved by these circumstances. I'm not going to let what they're saying about me steal my joy. I have a destiny to fulfill. I'm not going to live worried about my finances. I'm going to do my part and trust Krishna to do what I can't do. Not going to base my value on how people treat me, because I know who I am. I'm a masterpiece. I'm handcrafted by the creator of millions and millions of universes. I've been fearfully and wonderfully made. My self-worth doesn't come from people. My self-worth comes from God. In the Bhagavad Gita, the song of God, 6th chapter, 47th verse, it says, Shraddha means deep faith. Shraddha sabde vishvasha shurida nischaya, firm faith. Firm faith, Prabhupada says, is trust. I trust you means that I've got deep-rooted faith in you. is it not? So trust means deep faith. The prophet says, not so long God is my order supplier. He does what I want on my timetable. I trust in him. But as soon as he refuses to supply my order, then I don't trust him anymore. That's not firm faith. Krishna is putting me in distress. I still trust him. Krishna is putting me into happiness. Still, I trust him. That's called deep faith. In any circumstances, the faith is not retracted. That's deep-rooted faith. In a room conversation, Prabhupada responds to this statement by saying, then you mean unconditionally, Prabhupada? Prabhupada says, yes. Unconditionally means sarva dharman parityaga. Give up all other conditions of faith and surrender unto the lotus feet of Krishna. Why would anyone consider surrendering to Krishna or God unless they had deep-rooted faith in that Krishna? Faith that Krishna is the fountainhead, the supreme personality of Godhead. It all begins with faith. And then to deepen the roots of the faith, Krishna has explained all about himself in the 700 verses of the Song of God to his friend and associate Arjuna. One who is fortunate, after having read and assimilated all the self-knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita, the result is going to be a deep-rooted faith in Krishna. If you have failed to achieve this strong, firm faith, then there is no question of making any further spiritual progress. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, Shraddha Shabde Vishvasha Kahe Sudrida Nishchaya in the Madhya Lila, 22nd chapter, 62nd verse. Shraddha means deep-rooted faith with conviction. Yes, if I surrender to Krishna, all my business will be perfect and my spiritual life will be perfect. So ask yourself, are you steadfast? Are you immovable? Do your roots go down deep? If not, can I tell you that your life is going to be like a roller coaster? Your joy and peace will be based on shifting, changing circumstances, how people treat you, what goes your way. That's surface living. That's shallow roots. Krishna wants you to be steadfast, immovable. And in order to get there, you have to dig down deeper. As long as you're allowing circumstances to determine whether or not you're happy, you're never going to have true victory in your life. Sometimes we're using our faith to try and control our circumstances. But do you know what I've learned? It's better to use my faith to control myself in the midst of circumstances. When you're in peace from within, that is a place of incredible power. If you don't have peace on the inside, you're not going to have peace on the outside. Some people wonder why they don't have good relationships, why they can't be successful, why they can't get ahead. It's because they have shallow roots. If you'll achieve that inner peace, not fight against everything that doesn't go your way, then you're not going to live frustrated. Every morning, try this before you leave the house. Make the decision in advance. Nothing that happens to me today is going to upset me. I have the grace to handle anything that comes my way. You need to decide ahead of time. If the traffic is bad, you're not going to get upset. If someone's rude, you're not going to be offended. And if you don't get the contract, if your plans don't work out, you're not going to go around all sour in self-pity. I'm sure most of you have taken a flat rock, right? Skipped it across a lake. The water is like glass, as calm, peaceful as can be. This little rock skips its way out to the center, and as it does so, it sends ripples. And it looks like those ripples create a big disturbance. It looks like those ripples affect all the water. But the truth is, a foot down, that water didn't move. It's still calm and peaceful. There wasn't one fish down there saying, I'm worried. Did you see that ripple? Not one turtle. Call 911. Something's wrong. Nothing on the surface affects the water down deep. It stays calm. And one way you can tell how deep your roots are is how easily you get upset. If the pebbles that get thrown into your lake are causing you to lose your joy, be frustrated, then you need to go down deeper. Well, true, somebody's talking about me at work, trying to make me look bad. That's why I'm sour. Can I tell you? It's a pebble. The reason it's bothering you is because you're on the surface. Well, traffic was backed up last week. Took me an extra hour to get home. Another pebble. When you have deep roots, you're grateful just to be alive. You're grateful to have the job. You're grateful to be healthy. You're not focused on what's wrong. You're too busy thanking Krishna or God for what's right. Well, I didn't get the promotion. The medical report wasn't good. A friend betrayed me. That's why I'm discouraged. But we're not making light of these things. They can be very painful, but in the big picture, with the right perspective, they're just pebbles. You know, in the end, Krishna has beauty for those ashes. You know he'll pay you back for the betrayals, the unfair things. You know that even when the surface is disturbed, deep down where you choose to live, you're feeling a peace. You're at rest. You'll know this too shall pass. If you put your trust in people, sometimes people are going to let you down. If you put your trust in your job, your career, your money, unfortunately, we've seen this recently, things can change. But when your roots grow down deep in God and you say, Krishna, I know that not the economy is my provider, not the stock market is my provider, not the government is my provider, you're my provider, you're my healer, you're my vindicator. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, I know that you're the source of everything good. That when difficulties come, somebody does you wrong, you have an unexpected challenge, you're not going to fall apart, live in self-pity. You'll be strong, stable, immovable. It seemed in the history of Prabhupada, the founder of our movement, he came to America all alone at the advanced age of 70. And he wrote back to India for wealthy industrialists to support him so he could acquire a temple, for the Indian government to support him so that he could spread the Indian culture in New York City. And thirdly, he applied to his own missionary society if they could send him instruments, some funds, or at least someone to help. And initially, he got some interest. There was one brahmachari, one celibate student, whose name was Mukti, and he told Prabhupada, yes, I'll come and join you. However, when he put the proposal before his spiritual master, who was a godbrother of Srila Prabhupada, the spiritual master canceled the young man's trip. He did not want to be involved. Then Mukti wrote an insulting letter to Srila Prabhupada from being on the verge of coming to help him out and getting turned by Prabhupada's godbrother. Mukti wrote Prabhupada, if your program is not bona fide, the affair will be a ludicrous one, no doubt. On the same day that Prabhupada received the ludicrous letter, he also received the final blow of non-cooperation from the Indian government. Second Secretary Prakash Shah of the Indian Embassy in Washington, D.C. wrote, due to the existing conditions of foreign exchange stringency, it is not possible for the government of India to accede to your request for release of foreign exchange. You may perhaps like to raise funds from residents in America. And in his biography, Satsarup Das Goswami writes, it was now confirmed that Prabhupada would have to work without outside help. He would continue alone in New York City, homeless in the Bowery. His letter in response to Mukti Brahmachari reveals his deep faith and determination that he wasn't swayed or depressed under the external circumstances. Prabhupada wrote, so the controversy is now closed and there is no need of help from anyone else. We are not always successful in our attempts at preaching work, but such failures are certainly not ludicrous. In the absolute field, success and failure are glorious. He says, even Nityananda pretended to be a failure at converting Jagai and Madai in the first attempt. He was personally injured, but that was certainly not ludicrous. The whole thing was transcendental, and it was glorious for all parties concerned. Satsarup concludes in his biography, if Krishna consciousness were to ever take hold in America, it would have to be without assistance from the Indian government or Indian financiers. Not even a lone student would join him. Krishna was revealing his plan to Prabhupada in a different way. When all the schemes for support from India were finished and behind him, Prabhupada would turn all his energy towards the young men and women coming to him in his Bowery loft. Instead of being uprooted, he doubled down on his efforts. He wrote to Sumati Maharaji, I am now trying to incorporate one corporation of the local friends and admirers under the name International Society for Krishna Consciousness, or ISKCON. We all, on one level or another, face unexpected challenges, things we didn't see, a loss, a layoff, a divorce, pandemic. It's easy to get overwhelmed, to go around in self-pity, wondering why it happened. But if you'll go down deeper, not talk about the problem, not complain about how bad life is treating you, instead, have a report of victory. All is well. Krishna is still on the throne. None of this is a surprise to him. This too will pass. Because you have deep roots, even when a boulder gets thrown into your water, even when you should panic, you're going to feel a peace that passes understanding. You'll have a strength to endure even when the enemy Maya did her best. Maya thought for sure that you would be toppled over, depressed, that you would give up, but Maya miscalculated. She could only see the outside. What she couldn't see was underneath the surface. She didn't realize that you had deep roots, that you're steadfast, immovable. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. All Maya can do is change the circumstances, but the devotees are not rooted in their circumstances. They're rooted in the Most High God who never changes and has all powerful. I heard about a man who picked up what looked like a terminal disease. It was a virus that he got overseas. He had several children, a beautiful wife, a successful career, always been healthy, active. Life was good. And then this curved ball came into his life. He could have started complaining, but he had deep roots. He didn't tell anyone about the diagnosis. He just kept going. Similarly, when you face unexpected challenges, something big, don't let that become the focus of your life. Don't let it consume all that you think about. My sickness, my mistake, my loss, my breakup. Keep living life. Keep to your same routine. Some people let the problem become their identity. They become known as the crisis, so to speak. Like, I'm the man that went through a divorce. I'm the lady that has cancer. I'm the kid who's got the immune deficiency. That's what happened to you, but that's not who you are. Don't let a temporary event become a permanent label. Sometimes other people also try to cubbyhole you. If you don't stay on the offensive and keep moving forward, you can become what happened to you instead of becoming who you were created to be. This young man who had the disease, he just kept going to work, loving his family, not letting that sickness dictate his life. He was taking an experimental drug. The doctors told him he'd probably lose his hair and not have the energy he needed. He should better cut back on his schedule. But he just kept going to work. And there were times when he'd get tired and have to lay down in the break room, but he didn't complain about it. He just kept doing to the best of his ability what he would have been doing if he hadn't had that sickness. And when he was first diagnosed, The count of infected cells was 27 million. Just 2 months later, that cell count had come down to less than 2,000. The doctors didn't know what was going on. They were baffled. They said, we don't understand it, but we now consider you cured. This basic disease is undetectable at present in your body. That was years ago. He's still healthy and whole today. What am I saying? When you have deep roots, when you're not moved by the circumstances, when you're saying by your actions, Krishna, I trust you. I know that you're bigger than this sickness, stronger than this difficulty. That's when Krishna will make things happen that you could never make happen on your own. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In the Bhagavad Gita, Song of God, 4th chapter, 39th verse, Shradava labhate jnanam tat param samachandriya jnanam labda param shantim acharina digachati. A man of deep-rooted faith who is dedicated to transcendental knowledge and subdues his senses is eligible to achieve such knowledge, and having achieved it, he quickly attains the supreme spiritual peace. On the other hand, for those who balk, who have no faith, Krishna or God consciousness is very difficult. Even on our daily affairs, I think you'll agree with me, a certain amount of faith is required. When you spend thousands of dollars to buy a ticket, don't you have faith that the airline company will take you to your destination? Without faith, we can't even live a day in this material world, what to speak of making spiritual progress. The point is, where are we to place our faith? And the answer is in authority. We shouldn't pay $2,000 for a ticket from an unauthorized company. Are you in agreement with that? Yes. Faith ultimately must be in God, the speaker of the Bhagavad Gita. Now, how do we become faithful? Throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says control of the senses, samatendriya, is required. We're in the material world because we want to gratify our senses. Now, if you have faith in a physician that he can cure you, and he tells you not to eat such and such, and we eat it anyway, what kind of faith do we have? If we have faith in the physician, we'll follow his prescriptions for cure. The point is that we have to follow his instructions with faith, then healing, health, and wisdom will come. And when we attain to the state of wisdom, the result is param santim, supreme peace. Krishna indicates when we control the senses, no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication, faith comes in the near future, acharena. Having attained that stage of faith in Krishna, one feels that he is the happiest person in the world. That's the position of a devotee, to accept the formula and execute it with deep-rooted faith. Faith in the supreme authority, not just in a third-class Tom, Dick, or Harry. Therefore, we have to search out a spiritual master in whom we can have faith. And Krishna, God, is the ultimate spiritual master, the ultimate authorized personality. But anyone who is Krishna consciousness can be accepted as a person fully representative of Krishna himself. Having tasted the words of Krishna's representative, we're going to feel satisfied, just as we feel satisfied after having eaten a big meal. Agnas chasadananischa samsyatma neam lokoshtina paro nasukam samsyatmana. And without faith, says ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures, do not attain God consciousness, they fall down. For the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor the next. And Krishna doesn't want us to do busyness. He doesn't want us just to go through the motions. He wants us to live deeply in each and every moment. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita Lila, Bharata Bhumite Halya Manusha Janma Shartaka Yara Kara Para Upakara. One who has taken his birth in the land of Bharatvarsha, which is basically this whole planet, should make his or her life successful and work for the benefit of all other people. The human form of life, as opposed to the animals, is unique in that it's suitable for God realization. Atato Brahma Jignasha. Now you have a human body. Now it's time to inquire after the absolute truth. Anybody who has the special opportunity and gift of being able to read the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita automatically receives the basic principles of wholesome, healing, restorative spiritual life. However, Prabhupada says, at the present moment, for want of God consciousness, the entire world is in darkness, having been covered by the four principles of sinful life: illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, and meat eating. Therefore, Prabhupada says there's need for a vigorous propaganda. Am I vigorous enough for you guys? To educate people to refrain from sinful activities. This will bring peace and prosperity. The rogues, thieves, and debauchees will naturally decrease in number, and all of human society will be God conscious. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started preaching in Bengal and chanting Hare Krishna here and there in 1600s, he dared to take the message and the mission of Krishna's sovereignty, Krishna's supremacy, outside of generational rituals, outside of casteism, outside of household gods, outside the everyday expectations of pious practices, outside the realm of fruitive activity, and outside the caste boundaries. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered new ways to think and act as a deep-rooted person of faith. The message of the kingdom of God could not be contained within the temple or within a life of good, pious karma or through demigod worship or compliance with the current political rulers. The urgency and insurgency of Krishna conscious messaging demands more than a passing faith, more than a life where you're just going through the motions. To hear and truly understand the message of the Bhagavad Gita requires an embodied, embedded, engaged faith, a faith with depth. The first thing that his guru told to Prabhupada within 30 seconds of their first meeting, Prabhupada and his friend bowed down to Bhaktisiddhanta. And as they were rising, Bhaktisiddhanta said, "You should go and preach in the Western countries." In other words, he was asking him to have firm faith and put it into practice, not just live a conventional, average, ordinary life. Now, as heirs to this tradition, as missionaries in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we could probably aspire to be a little more weedy. We have a lot of experience with weeds around here, goat's heads, thistles. The most annoying weeds, the ones that are really difficult to uproot and get rid of, what's unique about them? They have a taproot. Taproot snakes down through the loose soil, and when it comes to the hard, compacted, rock-like soil, it punctures through those underground barriers that would keep it limited to shallow surface soil. Taproots reach down below the rocks themselves, pull in nutrients and sustain life, even when life on the surface and above ground is suffering severely. Nowadays, convention, short-lived sweetness, immediate sense gratification is far more common than outright deep-rooted commitment and devotion. I heard a story about a pastor who told his congregation that there were 700 different sins listed in the Bible. That afternoon, he received 36 text messages for the list. Everybody wanted to know what they were missing out on. In the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, 38th verse, Vishayandriya Shamyoga Dhyatharagirmidra Parinami Vishamesa Tat Sukham Rajasam Susham. That happiness which is derived of contact with the senses, with the sense objects, and which appears to be nectar at first, but poison in the end, is said to be happiness in the mode of passion. To attain the kingdom of God, you need more than passing superficial interests, more than spur the moment exuberance, shallow soil, no roots, showy flowers, ain't gonna cut it, folks. And sometimes, we all know it, life is good. The soil you find yourself in is rich and hearty and life-enhancing. For a while you grow apparently well and strong, even without deep roots. However, when the wind blows and the storm comes, like with this pandemic, everything can easily be overturned and lost. If your value is no more than what is visible above ground, goes no deeper than the loose soil, everything that you depend upon is going to be uprooted in due course. You can write that down and tell them that Chiru said it. The very essence of idolatry is to lean upon temporary things: wealth, beauty, power, sex, celebrity, self, sports, entertainment, and convenience are our idols, our gods and goddesses in the American pantheon. We idolize our homes, our bank balances, our family, our Ford trucks, our gun collections, our local sports team. When your local football team makes the Super Bowl, the fans feel unstoppable, unconquerable, chosen, special. And when your team loses the Super Bowl by 47-10, those same people feel like losers, second class, overrated. The root system is a vital part of the tree, but it's almost totally invisible. Roots serve to anchor and absorb water and minerals from the soil. Healthy trees bear fruit in season. Krishna urges his devotees to bear fruit and to expect life experiences that would help them to bear even more fruit. NBC newscaster Tom Brokaw dubbed the generation, my father's generation. They grew up during the Great Depression. They came of age and went to World War II. They lived in their prime during the Cold War and the tumult of the 60s. He called them the greatest generation. Why were they considered so great? They had challenges which make this pandemic look like a walk in the park. Yet so many of that generation managed to keep true to a deep rooted faith in the power of God. The very winds of war and storm, pestilence and poverty, which challenged them, served as well to deepen the roots of their faith. Those roots did not comfortably settle in the loose topsoil and grow laterally. Those roots pierced the deeper, tougher, compacted soil well below the surface. To be deep-rooted, we can't just grow laterally. To be deep-rooted, we must have a passionate, dynamic, embodied, and embedded faith. Just showing up at the Sunday feast and taking prasadam doesn't cut it. Just getting excited during summer camp doesn't make it. Just feeling faithful during Janmashtami and Gaur Purnima doesn't grow it. Winding up here, I heard a story about the transforming power of loving faith. It seems there was a woman who was married to a tyrant of a husband. She could never please him, no matter how hard she tried. He didn't like the way she kept house. He didn't like the way she did laundry. He didn't like the way she ironed his clothes. He didn't like the way she dressed. He didn't like the way she conducted herself in public. He constantly nagged on her about everything. Early in their marriage, he handed her a list of 25 rules for her to follow. She hated it and she hated him. You can imagine how frustrating it was for her to have to constantly check her list to see if she was pleasing him and stay out of trouble. And she usually failed miserably. And each time she got a tongue lashing from him, he made her feel miserable, unworthy, and small. And then one day, he died. Soon, she met and fell in love and married a wonderful, caring man. They loved each other very deeply. She practically bent over backwards to please him. She wanted to do everything for him. She even brought him breakfast in bed. One day, as she was busy cleaning up, she ran across in the couch one of those old lists. The feelings of anger and inferiority came rushing back. And as she looked at the list, something extraordinary happened within her. And she just began laughing and laughing and laughing right by herself there in the living room in the middle of the day. Why?
She realized she was doing all of these things for her new husband and much more, and that she did these same tasks with great joy because she loved, trusted, and had firm faith in this man. My challenge today is to live your life from a place of faith. Instead of spreading your roots laterally along the surface, keep sinking down those roots, growing deeper in your faith. Keep trusting in the Lord. Keep your dependence on Him rather than on circumstances or in people. Keep believing, even in the middle of the storm, all is well. Krishna is on His throne. This too shall pass. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. When you have deep roots, when you know that Krishna is in control, you're going to be stable and immovable, even in the strong winds. When you know that Krishna has you in the palm of His hand, you're going to be standing while all others around you have fallen down. When you know Krishna is bigger than anyone or anything who comes against you, you'll have the power of peace on the inside. When you know that Krishna has equipped you, empowered you, and anointed you, you're going to overcome all your obstacles in this life, and in the next life, you go back to home, back to God. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.